This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
If you've just joined us, we're having what we call Money Monday, where we take a moment to talk about financial things. We've been doing it for the last couple of Mondays, and today's no different. But today, it coincides with two very important days. The first one being World Savings Day, which was last week, Thursday. A very important day to be able to just pause for a moment and talk about how well we're doing when it comes to saving. Are we a type of people that has built a culture of saving in our homes, in our families, or wherever it may be? Do we save as often as what we can? Do we learn as much as we should when it comes to talking about savings? And then it coincides with this week, Monday, being the kickstart of Talk Money Week. And it's a question of, do you talk about finances? Do you sit and sit together and as a family, sit around the dinner table and go, hey, this is how we go about saving. This is how we go about investing. This is how we go about just managing your salary to make it to the end of the month. Budgeting, whatever it may be. Are you having those conversations around the table? And it's always one of those questions you feel like, of course, you don't ask me that because I already know the answer to it. But it's a necessary one because it causes us to reflect a little bit. And joining me in studio to guide us through this conversation is Ruvan from Whovis. And he's going to be telling us about, what are some of the things that we can look out for when it comes to just managing finances better, having those conversations better, and more importantly, having a society that has a culture of saving, which I think is something very important. Ruvan, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Drive 3 to 6.
Thank you for having me, Jose.
World Savings Day, last week, Thursday, and it almost feels like every other time you hear about savings, and just because you hear about it doesn't mean you'll do it. It's absolutely that statement of just because you know better doesn't mean you'll do better.
Absolutely.
But saving is one of those things that's of critical importance. It's almost sort of like if you don't do it, you're already setting yourself into big trouble. Help paint a picture of the current climate of South Africans and their relationship with saving. Is it better? Is it worse? Is it just stagnant? What is it looking like?
Let's be honest. We don't have a culture of saving. So exactly like you said now, I think we're not used to talking about money. And as that previous caller on WhatsApp said, they don't speak about it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't speak about it, tongue in cheek. It's the F word, you know, finance. It's the F word, you know. We don't speak about it and we're scared to speak about it. And sometimes I think people are a little bit ashamed as well to speak about their own finances.
Lots of shame.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing, number one. And then they make mistakes and then they wind up in trouble. And then they are ashamed. But you should speak. We should speak about it. Otherwise, you won't know. You won't know what you're supposed to do. You don't know where you're going. And I think that's the first point. You need to know where you are. And that's quite simple. Assets minus liabilities. That's your situation.
Yeah.
And then the next step is, where am I going?
Mm.
And how do you do that? You do that by setting financial goals and then budgeting for those goals.
Yeah.
That's the basic framework of getting into moving into a place where you are financially comfortable over the long term as well.
Budgeting, it almost sounds like that's another heavy word in of itself.
Really?
You hear about this so often, but again, just because you hear and know about it and know better doesn't mean you'll do better. Why is budgeting still so important, even in 2024? It feels like this is this archaic thing that is still running behind us talking about budgeting. Why is it so important?
Once again, people are scared because let's say, for instance, you've set up that budget. I promise you, and even myself, sometimes I'm scared to look at that budget because I know I've gone over what I was supposed to do. That's how it works. But you need to look at it a little bit more simply. Break it down into certain subjects. And let's say 50% of my income needs to go to need to have expenses. 20% of my assets, of my income, can go towards investing or saving. And then 30% of my income I can use for leisure.
Yeah.
You can even move the 20 and the 30 around and say I want to invest a little bit more. But that's a very easy way to look at it. 50, 20, 30. And sticking to that, I think, makes it a little bit easier than just throwing, you know, a stone into the dark. You have no idea what you're doing.
Hmm.
So that's quite easy. And it's easier also to keep track of it. Because let's use the example now of that 20% that goes towards investing or saving. You can break those up per goal that you set for yourself. Let's say one of those goals is emergency funds. That should be a short-term goal. And you know how much you put towards that every single month. What is another goal? Another goal is retirement. You know exactly what you put away for retirement. And there it goes. And you don't touch it. You leave it. You let it go off a debit order. Everything should be automated when you save and when you invest. And following that 50-20-30 makes it a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah. So now I'm curious, because I think in the evolution of time, so now I speak about budgeting like 2024 and this archaic thing. In 2024, there's all sorts of things that are trying to make budgeting easier. Are there apps that assist with trying to navigate that place and trying to figure out what's happening? Where is my money going? Because we all get to the end of the month and sometimes you don't even know where a quarter of your finances actually went. Are there apps like that assisting with this?
Yeah. So if I can name one of those apps is 22/7.
Yes, I know that one. Yeah. I don't like that app so much. It keeps showing me percentages that I don't want to see. And it breaks
problem.
It down, like you're rightfully saying, it breaks it down into these different categories of food or travel or extra expenses, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just like, I don't like that app. It's too personal.
It's too true.
Yeah.
That you don't want to see the truth. So that's one of them. And I think another one that's probably even a little bit easier, because every single one of us use our banking app.
Yeah.
We use our banking apps. And probably all of the banks have that sort of built into those apps. So we use those apps every single day. There's not a, you don't have to have a specific one that you go and download. You probably have it on your phone already because you do internet banking. All of us do it.
Yeah.
So it's in your hands. It's not difficult. You can really do it. Easy.
Oh man, it's easy, but it's so scary at the same time. And I mean, this is coinciding with Talk Money Week, which I think is something so important. There's a voice note, it's quite lengthy, but I'd love for you to have a listen to this as we're getting into the conversation of talking about money as a family.
I love this topic, but if you ask me this last year, I would say no. With this budgeting, hey, my husband was an engineer, and funny enough, I'm in the finance department. I mean, doing accountings and stuff, but I hated budgeting with all my life, especially my personal budgeting, my expenses and everything. But since I got married to my late husband, we will sit every 24 with an Excel spreadsheet and we'll do all the budget for our household as to all the money that is coming in and all the expenses and everything. We have to reconcile and put in, we're gonna spend on this and this and this. And we introduced that to my son, who is now 6 years old, and with his dad gone now, like, we're still using it. And it's so amazing because now with my son, he knows now that everything that he receives, he's saving. When his dad was alive, he bought him a piggy bank and he has been using it. So this year, the beginning of the year, he was like, "Mommy, you have to buy me a piggy bank. I need to save my money." And now he's like, "Okay, it's almost time to open my piggy bank and see how much I've saved." So every time when we spend, he's so cautious and he's only 6 years old. And I'm like, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful for that, for what my husband has introduced in our family. And for that, it's so amazing now. I'm a single parent and I'm still using that tool that he left me with, even though it's so disturbing and all that. But now I am so grateful because whatever I spend, now I'm just using it, and I can manage my accounts now with him being gone as well in this app. But then I'm so thankful for him, and I'm grateful for God for introducing such a man in my life. And yeah, miss him as well. May his soul rest in peace. Thank you guys. Have a great afternoon. Thanks,
Komatso, for that one. I think a lot of us, we listen to voice notes like this and we think, yeah, I want that too. And it sounds cute and it feels great. It's great to hear family in that position. But we're not talking about finances around the table. If we struggle to bring it to a professional, a financial advisor, how much more the struggle to bring it into the household? Why do we struggle to even have the conversation at home around our kids so that they can see how money moves and we sit together around a table?
Absolutely. Well, firstly, for the caller, that's fantastic. For herself and the child, it'll definitely pay off moving forward. Absolutely. Not everyone is as analytical as her late husband.
Yeah.
Myself and my wife, we do it the same way. I'm also extremely analytical.
You sound the part. You sound your voice sounds analytical.
So we do it the same, and once again, that communication is very important.
Yeah.
And that comes from your parents. If you don't have that open communication, and it's not to say that every single personal thing must be shared with the kids. That's not what it's about. But it's about talking how it works, what we pay, why do we pay it, why do we have debt, why do we want to retire, how do we pay for a car, how does a bank account work, why do we pay taxes, what type of taxes is it? These are basic stuff. It's not difficult. It's really not difficult. And you sort of think that you should know it, but you don't. You sort of learn as you go. And I think that's one of the one of the biggest opportunities for our new our new formed government is something where kids are forced to look at finances in school. There should be a subject where basic financial not even just the jargon, but going into everything, just basic.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important. And I think when they learn it, or when they are taught at school, then they would probably talk about it a little bit more at home as well and say, yeah, listen, Dad, they told us this is how a home loan works. Do we have a home loan as a family? So I think that can be quite powerful, I think.
And that conversation eventually comes back home. But Ruben, there's someone who's listening to this and going, it feels like I need to get my finances in check first before I bring my child into having this conversation at home. Is this a true reflection, or can I kind of quote unquote fail forward while they're sitting next to me?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Yeah. No one does it perfect. Mm. It's we're all human. We all only have a finite amount of money, and we need to make things happen. And there are certain economic challenges, and once again, people don't know the stuff that you're supposed to know, and we make mistakes, and that's fine. Make mistakes, and once again, I think kids should know that you make mistakes, and you should learn from those mistakes. And if you've made a mistake, be honest about it and say, listen, moving forward, rather not this way, this way.
Yeah.
And because that's how I fell, and let's move forward from there. So making mistakes, everyone makes mistakes.
Yeah, man. I think, we can be so harsh on ourselves and not so kind towards ourselves in terms of the mistakes that we've made. Ruben, we've run out of time, and I almost feel like we've just started this conversation. I actually want to, I'll talk to the team, and I actually maybe want to get you to come back, that we
bring
can break
back.
It down all the more into what it looks like practically, so that a person can then be able to go, okay, tonight I'm going to do ABC. Today I'm going to XYZ. At the end of this month, this is what I'm going to apply, because we're getting into a season where there's going to be a huge influx of money in and a huge influx of money out as we're making our way to the holiday season. So very soon I'm going to get you back into the studio so we can talk about that a little bit more. But you've got one last thing you want to say.
Final thought. None of us are in control of the economy.
Yeah.
None of us are in control of financial markets. But what are we in control of? What can we control? It's our own behavior.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we can control. And just remember that.
Sure. We don't manage to control everything else, but we can control our own behavior and how we use our finances as a reflection of that. That is
absolutely
so true. Ruben, thank you very much. I'm going to get you back very soon. Before we get into what we term as quote-unquote silly season, and all the specials are coming out, and everybody's tired, and everybody's getting all these bonuses, and it's getting chaotic, I think it's important that it must be a time that we talk about finances. Just yesterday, I saw a child at the shops. I think it was on Saturday, and he was talking to his grandmother. He's very young, and the lady looked very much older. And he's saying to her, I mean, come on, it's just 4 rand. It's just 4 rand. And she keeps saying, no. And it goes back to understanding the value of money and money that's set aside for different things. And I think this conversation will definitely go for a part 2. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Jose.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.